Well, good morning. It's a real privilege to be back in Lititz with you folks. Things do change. And for Verna and I, after 50 years with Northern Youth Programs at the end of this year, end of 2022, they call it retirement. But for us, it means doing some of the same kind of things. We have continued doing ministry among the Aboriginal people in workshops and training and mentoring. So nothing is really changing too much, except that no longer a staff member at NYP and still living there, still attending their services on Sunday mornings and those kind of things, but no longer with any responsibility or on their payroll. Turn with me this morning to 1 John chapter 2. I'd like to read from 18 to 29. The writings of John, the Apostle John, are quite intriguing to me and have been over the years. The Gospel of John is usually one of the first writings that are given to people on the streets or given to people to bring them to the Lord or to an overview of the plan of salvation. John 3:16. Obviously, a very familiar scripture to all of us. And then we have the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. John is, the epistles have been written somewhere around AD 90, so we're talking about 100 years, close to 100 years after Jesus' ministry. John is writing to deal with Gnostics. And what's a Gnostic? Sounds like he's got a nose problem, right? Well, Gnostics are people that promote carnal sins, are allowed or even encouraged. So, doesn't sound too far different from some of the deceptions that happen in our day, right? Let me read here. Well, the first words here in verse 18, little children, and down in verse 28, it says little children. So if you're little here today, this is a message for you. But I think John is writing to all of us, big people and little people. And if you say, well, I'm this big or I'm this big or this big, it's for us, little people, little children. It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist will come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out and that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. But we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is a promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. A few comments. There's a couple of verses just before this section I read about love not the world. A few comments about that for those two verses, love not the world, well, three verses. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. World refers to values or attitudes and actions opposed to God. So if we're going to be genuine in our walk with the Lord, it would behoove us to not be lovers of the world or the world's values. Only those whose sins are forgiven, who know Jesus and the Father, who have overcome the evil one, who are strong and have the word of God abiding in them, are able to refuse the love of the world. My title of this message this morning is What It Takes to Survive and Possibly Even Thrive the Last Time or the Last Hour. You'll notice in verse 18, it is the last time. Other translations often refer to as the last hour. What does it take to survive the last hour? And one of those things is obviously making sure that we're in the world, but not of the world, right? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, it says in John, in this writings as well. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Psalm 79:9, I'm going to quote some other scriptures here, but I'd like to stick to this reading here. Help us, O God of our salvation, it says in Psalm 79:9. If we're going to survive or realize what it takes to survive the last hour, we need God's help. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. There's a quote here from Sasha Eldridge, and many of you may have read John Eldridge's book. She writes in her book called Captivating, and John Eldridge's book, somebody give me, anybody, you read it? What's the title?
Okay.
Well, there's one of those. Any other titles that you remember? Wild at heart. So how are we going to survive in this last hour? Anyway, Sasha says when she wrote the book Captivating, you must be intentional in your choices and decisions when it comes to these verses I just read here from 15 to 17. We must be intentional in our choices and decisions, or the world, the flesh, your flesh, my flesh, and the devil will have us for lunch. That's quite a crude way to say it, but let me repeat it. We must be intentional in our choices and decisions, or the world, our flesh, and the devil will have us for lunch. Now let's go back to our 11 verses here. Verse 18. Antichrist. The word Antichrist is only referred to in John's writings, and we find it only in these writings right here in 2:18, 2:22, chapter 4, verse 3, and 2 John 7. So the question could be asked, what is the Antichrist? Obviously, it defines itself. It's something that's against Christ. Here's another quote. The gigantic conflict of the ages. The gigantic conflict of the ages between Christ and Satan is staged in the drama of human lives. And we hold the deciding factor between the forces of righteousness and the forces of evil as we yield ourselves to do what is right or to do what is wrong. So the gigantic conflict of the ages is staged in our lives. So will we join the Antichrist, or will we truly walk with our Lord? The Antichrist may not refer to necessarily an open aggression, but rather deceit and falsehood or counterfeits. Or there could be open aggression. There's certainly been open aggression. We have experienced some open aggression in Northwestern Ontario when it came to the topic of same-sex things back in 2020. So you got COVID going on, but you also have this attack from, well, Northern Youth Programs was featured on the morning show of national, similar to your national public radio, except in Northwestern Ontario, it's basic, it's not BBC, what's the word, Verna? CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Company. So they had us featured along with some other departments, for a week on the morning show, trying to attack some of the things that we've been teaching, accusing us of this conversion therapy, they call it. Well, we're certainly interested in seeing people converted, but we don't necessarily go out and attempt to do what they define as conversion therapy. So there can be open aggression, but most of the things we see is deceit. It's rather deceit and falsehood and counterfeits. Sometimes we bump into these kind of people and you have to wonder what happened to the guy that was in in your facility here. Charmers and con artists. We see potential. Charmers and con artists see potential and want to help. They want what they want with the fastest shortcut regardless of the cost. They make a career of foolish mistakes. Charmers and con artists are missing a sense of healthy shame, or they have no problem facing people with hurting after hurting someone or after creating a mess. Racing numbly towards self-destruction in great style. So the Antichrist, deception, racing on in great style. When it comes to surviving our day, and as many of you have gone through COVID and its effects, losing loved ones, and it's happened in Northwestern Ontario too, losing Aboriginal friends, co-workers. Some of you may recognize the name Gois Kakagamic. Well, he got COVID and he refused to go to the hospital, rightly for his sake. It was his way of handling it. And in December of 2021, we lost him and another leader in a local church, Jim Kizik. Jim was doing Bible translation in Ojibwe for a number of years, helped translate the Bible, the New Testament in Ojibwe. So we lose brothers, we lose family members, these are the last hour that I think John is referring to. And you say, well, John, this is only 100 years after Jesus, what's all this about? And now we're a couple thousand years. So the question is being asked, what will we do? If we compare other scriptures with what we just read here about the Antichrist, you could go to Matthew 24, 25. For those of us in missions and engaged in preaching and presenting the gospel and in serious discipleship, Matthew 24, 14 talks about the gospel being preached. Then the end will come. And you go into the book of Daniel and Ezekiel and, of course, Revelation. Luke 21, verse 26, talks about the powers of heaven shaken. So we have storms, weather patterns, global warming, famines, floods, earthquakes, pandemics. And in Luke 21, verse 28, it says, lift up our heads, for our redemption draws nigh. What a privilege to be challenged even by this, one of the latest disciples, one of the last disciples, and he's writing about the last hour, the last time. And you have heard the Antichrist will come. Even now there are many Antichrists, 100 years after this, whereby we know that it is the last hour, the last time. Little children, pay attention. Verse 19. I won't reread this, but it fits in with the Sunday school class, at least the adult ones, right? Not be divisive. 1 Corinthians 11, 19 would refer to this, that Paul's writing to the Corinthians saying that There may need to be deceivers among you so that the anchor point, the truth is revealed. Verse 20 and 27 here. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. No. And verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you in all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So we have an unction. Actually, the book of 1 John has these words, we know. And John, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he uses words like, we know that you know. We know is found 20 times in the 1 John. The unction, what's an unction or an anointing? If we're going to survive the last hour, we need God's anointing. We need God's Holy Spirit anointing us for ministry, for purposes to advance his kingdom. We need an unction. You need something that grabs you and motivates you. We need to be motivated. We need to be unctioned if we're going to survive the last hour. Verses 21 to 23. We need to know the truth about the Father and the Son, and deal with deception, deal with lies. In our ministry among the Aboriginal people of Northwestern Ontario, we have people that are religious and they honor the Creator, but they have a hard time recognizing the Son. So those of you in school, and especially in colleges and universities, watch out for deceptions, watch out for lies, watch out for deceptions about not accepting who the Father and the Son truly are. I have written unto you, John says, because you know the truth. In verse 21, ye know it. And that no lie is of the truth. And then in verse 22, if you deny the Father and the Son, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, in verse 23. So acknowledge the Father and the Son. We need to get a clear glimpse of what this is all about. You know, Scripture is a lot like using a GPS. And now we have GPSs on our phone that are even sharper than the old GPSs. Now, some of you young people wouldn't even know what the old GPSs are like. You mount on the windshield. Let me read something about it. Early days of the GPS. Before retirement, not my retirement, but this guy. I worked for the company that invested in GPS. I especially needed one of them because I was constantly lost in the suburbs of Detroit. Big city, right? As I made my appointed sales calls, even with the GPS, I often turned the wrong way. And after so many recalculations, shouts from the dashboard of my car, I had only the talented contraption that said, I am rerouting you to the nearest gas station for directions. I'm tired. I mean, the GPS voice actually said that. Back then, I found gas stations to be my most reliable source of direction and directional information. I prefer real people conversations over machines. I like to look at people when I speak to them. So find ways to come to the truth, live the truth, embrace the reality, just like our GPSs lead us to right ways, and they even get sharper. My next verse is here in verse 24, 26, and 28, we have this word abide. If we're going to survive at all in this Antichrist era, in this last hour, we need to learn how to abide. Abide is actually used 24 times in this First John. What does it mean to abide? Well, in Revelation 3:20, Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. And someone has said there's no latch on the outside of the door, or there's no, he doesn't force his way into the door. You have to open from the inside. He's standing at the door and knocking. You have to open. And then he comes in and sups, and like Revelation 3:20 refers to. We abide in his love. We abide. And if you compare this writing in the epistles of John with John chapter 15, the word abide, 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 abide is all over John's writings. And verse 28, little children, abide in him. There's our word again. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Romans 8, chapter 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Have confidence. If we're going to survive the last hour, we need to be people of confidence and not shrink or blush in shame. Now, that doesn't mean shame is a big deal. It doesn't mean that we don't find ways to be embarrassed or ashamed about, but shame is not the theme of our lives. My last point here in verse 29, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So practicing righteousness. And in, let's jump ahead to chapter 3 here in 1 John, verses 7 to 10. Little children, there's our word again. Big people, little children, let no one deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whatsoever is born of God doth not commit sin, but his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. Fits in with our Sunday school words there again. So practicing righteousness, not by our own energy, by our own willpower, but by the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God's presence in our lives. So my challenge again this morning has to do with how will I survive the last hour, the last time? I will do it by not being divisive, by an unction of the Holy Spirit, anointing of God on my life, by knowing the truth of the Father and the Son, and by abiding, number five, and accepting the promised eternal life. I missed that one. In verse 25, and this is a promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. God put eternity in our hearts. So what are we doing with accepting the promise of eternal life? And have confidence and not shrink or face in shame and find ways to practice righteousness with the Holy Spirit's unction in our lives. Let me pray. Father, this morning and as we face these days, we do pray for an unction, not to be deceived. We do pray that we wouldn't be divisive, find ways, and particularly even in what decisions are made in this assembly today, to find ways to unite. Lord, to know the truth about the Father and the Son, about you, Holy Father, and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, to abide, to open the door, to have you sup with us and us sup with you, and Lord, to accept the promise of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Lord, that's our survival means of these hours. Lord, having confidence and not shrinking and not being ashamed or finding new confidence and finding ways to practice righteousness. So guide, we pray, and may you be honored in our lives. So we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and the Lord bless.